So Chad, you have an incredible story that I want to be the journalist and get out from you. Because I understand that you were a farmer or something in Kansas, and you met Chris,
yeah.
And you moved to San Antonio into a whole new market that you are brand new in. You ended up going out without really having any home sold, raising a bunch of money from local businesses to help finance your lead generation. And with your work ethic and the guidance from Chris, and let's just be real, the money to be able to take the risk on the lead gen. How many homes? It's your second year in the business. Where are you at now with your production level?
This year we're on track to double our production from last year. I believe we have $22.8 million worth of real estate that we have closed so far this year.
That's incredible. How many homes is that in your market in San Antonio?
You know, I'd have to double check, but I would say probably in the ballpark of 75.
In your second year?
Yeah.
No one does that. That's incredible. That's really, really good, man.
Well, thank you.
So I want to tell this story because obviously, and you know this, many people struggle getting started in real estate. Mm-hmm. Or they need to go back to the basics and they get shiny object to something that doesn't really, they get caught up in things that don't work.
Yep.
So let me get this straight. So 2 years ago, you're a farmer in Kansas. Is that correct?
Well, actually, I grew up on a small farm in Kansas.
Okay.
And went to college, met my wife there, and then we moved to Lubbock, Texas, and I got into real estate there. And I sold 20 homes my first year, 20 homes my second year, and then I met up with Chris Waters, and he had me come down to San Antonio, and I started the branch with just myself 2 years ago, and then fast forward to today.
Got it. So you had a little experience first.
I had a little experience, but I would say just enough to make me dangerous.
Sure. So why Chris? Why did you partner up with him?
So I interviewed a ton of different brokers, and what I really saw is Chris had a better understanding of how to build out a sustainable real estate model. Right. So most brokerages, they could teach you how to be a good salesman or different parts. But I really wanted to have an exit strategy at some point. And I could see that he had the foundation work for that, and that he was keen about the coaching, mentoring. And he's been wonderful for helping me to get where I'm at. I would not be where I'm at today if it wasn't for his guidance.
Chris, not like a coaching company.
Exactly. It was very, very much actionable items and was very tailor fit for my situation.
So I want to talk to you about how you got money so quickly. So how much were you able to raise in your first year from local businesses on Chris's brand ambassador program to help offset your lead expenses?
It was several thousand dollars each month. So I believe we got upwards $10,000 a month towards the end.
$10,000 a month. That's game changing.
Yeah, it definitely makes it a lot more cost effective to get those leads. And it also makes it a little bit less painful when you're teaching new agents the ropes and they're screwing stuff up.
How did you raise $10,000 a month?
So Chris kind of told me what to do, and I was a little bit nervous about doing it, but I basically went and found small businesses that we could send business to. But a key part of it is most small businesses don't have a network of other small businesses to kind of help them build and grow. So I kind of sold that to them, that they would get some insight from me. So things that, you know, in the real estate world that we know inside and out, like lead conversion rates, and the importance of lead to speed and all those types of things, a lot of small businesses don't really know how they became successful. They're just kind of at their max. So I went and found these small businesses that were trying to kind of grow on to the next thing and help them to be able to get there. So once a month we get together and talk about different things to help businesses grow. And in the beginning, I was a little more nervous about it because I didn't feel like I had a whole lot more information than the other businesses. But now I definitely feel like I have a lot of value to give other business owners.
So how did you approach these businesses? How did you get your list? Let's go a little bit deeper. I want you to tell the audience, let's get some actionable steps here. The first step someone needs to take to start raising money like you did. What's the first thing you got to do?
The first thing that I did is I used LinkedIn heavily. So some of my best partners came in on LinkedIn. So the business owners that are on LinkedIn value networking and value other people. I made the mistake of shooting for some big accounts, but they didn't really need me, I guess is a good way to put it. Whereas some of the other brand ambassadors I have, that's exactly what they're looking for. So when I approached them about it, they were quick to jump at the opportunity and didn't balk at paying to be part of the group.
You cold called a bunch of businesses. I mean, what industries? And then what did you say when you reached out to them?
I pretty much just said, hey, I'm looking for a partner that I can send all of my clients to. I'd love to interview you and see if you're a good fit for that. So it set the expectations that this was a two-way interview. And then I would meet with them and ask them a bunch of questions to see if they were a good fit business-wise, and then also if they did things ethically, and I would feel comfortable sending clients to them. And then told them if they wanted me to send clients to them, then they needed to contribute so I could grow the business to send them more and more business.
What industries have you had success with as far as the professions?
Say one more time.
Which industries? Which industries? What types of jobs? What types of businesses?
So some of the big ticket items really are a lot easier. So like a roofing company, for example, if you can get a small to medium sized roofing company, they're great because there's a high return every time they put on a new roof, right? So most business owners look at it, well, if I get, you know, X number of closed deals out of it, then it makes sense. So when they join and I'm sending a business and they're getting their business is growing, then they're more apt to come back and say, hey, how can I get you more business so you can get me more? So roofing companies, HVAC companies, CPAs, wealth management companies, solar panel, home security, all those different types of things where there's a high probability we're going to get our clients in contact with someone during the transaction or shortly after.
And how did you go about asking for the money? I mean, that had to have been a big point for you. I mean, how much money do you ask for? Is there a contract? What are the deliverables? Go through that presentation.
Yeah. And the contract and the deliverables are pretty simple. I say that I think most people, if you sell the wrong thing, then you can lose your brand ambassadors. So in the beginning, I sold, oh, I'm going to give you leads. And then I realized that's kind of a hard thing to deliver on sometimes. And if that's all that they're looking for, they're always going to be looking for the next thing where, well, if I invest this money into Thumbtack, am I going to get more leads? So what I was really selling is, can I help you to rebuild to build your business out better? Right. So it's more of a
local business coach.
Exactly. So like our solar panel guy, he was having some struggles with his sales team, and he came from a background in operations. So he runs a very smooth operating company, but sales is not his thing. So I was kind of able to help to coach him. He pretty much fired his entire sales staff and rebuilt it, and he's much better now. But I helped him to build it correctly as opposed to the way he had it out before.
Now, where did you get your confidence to be able to call up a bunch of cold call business owners, basically charge them all for coaching, essentially, it sounds like?
Yeah. Basically, I had so when I started in the business, I didn't know anyone in Lubbock, and so I called for sale by owners. And once you call for sale by owners, I feel like everyone else is just, you know, extremely nice compared to that.
So the fact that you called for sale by owners, you could call up all these business owners and ask for money. That's great.
Yeah, dude. I've got thick skin. So, you know, when people are like, because I had some people that were mad about it and said, well, why would I give you any money for this? I'm like, well, obviously we don't see value here. So you wouldn't. So move on to the next. Plus there's many, many businesses to go for and try to find what works and what doesn't. But
let me ask you this too. Like, you're able to cold call these businesses and you actually speak to the business owner?
So that's where LinkedIn. So LinkedIn was very helpful. So one of the mistakes I made early on is I tried to go through business development reps. And they're great, but they're not the people that you want to be targeting. You want to try to get a hold of the small business owners. They're willing and see value, because if they give you money for advertising and it helps you grow, but you're able to help them to build out their business, that could increase the amount of money that business makes by hundreds of thousands of dollars, right? So that's a small price to pay. Whereas a business development rep, if you help them secure a couple more deals, it doesn't make that much of a difference to them.
So how many people do you have in your brand ambassador business sponsor program right now? How many different businesses?
10 right now.
Yeah, 10. And then collectively, they're all paying you $10,000 a month.
Correct. So I have some people with a little bit deeper pockets than others, because they benefit more.
Got it.
So like, a pest control company, there's not a lot of markup on their product, so they need a lot of business before it makes a lot of sense. Whereas a solar panel company, they sell one or two solar panels from a client that we sent them, then they're in a great position.
Great. So do you get these guys together? Like, you're not doing like one-on-one calls with them. I mean, you're doing like a monthly business mastermind. Is that correct?
Correct.
So explain that. So you just bring them all together once a month. For how long? What do you do? What's the setup? How does it go?
So I do two hours. I have lunch catered in by one of our other vendors. And the key thing with the 2 hours is most business owners, they can't afford a ton of time. So if you do a 4-hour time block, you can't really be away from your phone for 4 hours, but I can get their undivided attention for 2 hours. And then anything more than once a month becomes to where they don't respect the time. So that was kind of the sweet spot I found, was 2-hour time block once a month. And then we have several different flavors of what we do to add value. So we do a business spotlight is one of the things. So when we get a new brand ambassador that joins, I meet with them outside of the meeting for a lunch about 2 or 3 weeks prior, and we talk about all of their strengths. What makes them different than their competition, and then their challenges. So what's interfering with their growth? Then once I bring them in, we talk about, and as a group, what are their strengths, and that's something that we can learn from as all these other businesses. So there's value. So for example, we had an HVAC company that had extremely low turnover, and that's rare in most businesses. And so they had a really strong culture, and a lot of us learned some things from them and we turned around and implemented those. Sorry, I'm getting a lot of feedback.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you getting feedback right now?
There, that's better.
Okay. Yeah, I'm muting myself out because I got some background noise here in the office.
Got it.
So once a month, you bring everyone together, you do a little mastermind, everyone's sharing ideas, right?
Yep.
Then you also meet with them one-on-one every now and then.
Yep, on occasion. So the spotlight is one of the things we do that kind of helps them immediately get bought in and feel like they're part of the group, because there's, you know, 7 or 8 other people that are saying, oh, you know, tell me more about how you do this. You know, that's exciting. Oh, I haven't thought of that. And then the flip side of it is you have all these other businesses that are giving you ideas on how to get past issues. So we had a home security guy who he had trouble with a ton of turnover. And our insurance brand ambassador gave him the recommendation about changing the way that he did his payouts with his sales team. And that cut his turnover rate like in half. And it was something that they do in the insurance industry that no one really does in home security. And so that's where you get the value of kind of having different, you know, an outside opinion on different ways to do things.
That's great, man. So how do you collect the money? Just run everyone's cards through PayPal, or how do you get paid?
Yep. So we use Square, and we have it set up to automatically bill once a month.
Was that hard for you to go out and actually ask for a credit card when normally it's just for a listing contract?
No. It was pretty simple for me. I had an agreement kind of explaining what our expectations were, what they were committing to doing, and then a credit card authorization form. It's really not that difficult. I think a lot of real estate agents just think that, oh, I don't really have anything to give. But if you look on LinkedIn about like how many people are doing all these networking events and paying to be part of networking events, and all they do is they go to these events and they ask for referrals. They don't help each other build their businesses. It's just basically a paid referral network. And there's a lot of people out there that are wanting, you know, that coaching that you can't really get, or you have to pay thousands of dollars to get, you know, coaching from an industry expert.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing. Is like, well, I'm already in a BNI group. Like, no, man, this is not that. This is a business mastermind consulting group. Like, how do you handle that objection? Like, well, I'm already in a BNI group.
Well, great. You know, if you want to keep getting referrals, and I'm not selling you referrals, and that's the key part about not talking about giving them leads. You have to focus on the business consultation, the coaching part. So I also talk about, you know, what's their business model look like, and what is their hooks? How do they get their clients? You want to be very guarded with the group, because collectively that group kind of sets the tone. So in our group, none of the people in there, their go-to is not, well, we do it less than everyone else. That's not what you want in your group. What you want are people that, well, I do this better than anyone else, or this is additional value that we add, things of that nature that raises the bar as opposed to lowers it.
That's good, man. So 10 grand, what do you do with that money? Where'd you put it? How'd you sell so many homes so quickly? Well, you spent it, I'm sure. How'd you spend it?
Goes all back into advertising. So, you know, whichever different venues that you're using, you know, AdWords campaigns, different lead providers, billboard radio, like whatever it is that your campaigns are, that it helps to cut your costs, keep your client acquisition costs down. But as you are pouring it back into the business, it helps the business to take off faster. Your agents are getting more leads. They're fat and happy. They're sending business to your referral partners. And I frequently make statements to the office about, hey, you know, you have these leads because of these people here. Make sure that you help them out. They're buying your leads. The agents are genuinely thankful for that.
So would you say that the majority of the value of what they're paying for is just the mastermind? I mean, is there anything else that you're doing? I mean, they might get some leads, but that's, you want to downplay that as much as possible, right?
Exactly, because they can go to a BNI group and get leads, and then depending on what you've worked out with them, they might be able to get them for less. Or, you know, they just, if you have a dry spell where you're not sending a lot of business to them, then you're done, right? Yeah. But if you're helping them to be able to do a better job with their business, then you're off to the races. So stuff that in the real estate industry we just don't bat an eye and think about can be mind-blowing. So I gave a whole coaching session on this is another part I forgot. We do topic specific. So we talked about conversion rates and client acquisition costs. And a lot of these business owners, they haven't ever really thought about client acquisition costs. If you ask them where your lead's coming from, they don't know. And they don't want to do advertising because they say, well, you know, I was spending $5,000 a month. I did that for 6 months and I didn't really see any growth. Well, they're not tracking. So when I coach them on how to do that to figure out what's working and what's not, now they're oh, okay, I'm interested in doing that and seeing what is going to work. And that's how I can grow my business beyond just my, you know, referral network and my sphere.
Chad, you're a sharp guy. This is good. So when you first started, how much money did you raise in the first 6 months? And at this point, you were in a brand new market. Mm-hmm. So let's put this in perspective now for someone that says, oh, I can't do that. Well, you had a little experience selling real estate. You talked to FSBOs. That got you all ready. I love that, by the way. Okay. But you were in Lubbock, and then you go to San Antonio. You didn't have any sphere network. You had nothing in San Antonio. Correct. Is that correct? And then you went out from day one looking for money without any track record of selling homes, at least in that market. First 6 months, how much money did you raise? And could you give our audience some insight, last question here, on what they need to do when they're in a situation where they're in a brand new market, don't have any homes sold, maybe they're a brand new agent. I mean, you went and got money quickly. What do they need to know to do what you did?
The first person the first key hinge that I looked for was a really solid lender. So you want to go find a lender, and this can be difficult for some agents if they have a great relationship with a lender. But if that lender isn't contributing to their growth, then they're just, you know, a leech. They're sucking out of you, but not putting anything back. So I went and found a great lender who was willing to contribute to advertising. So that was a big portion of it. And then kind of finding, it's easier to find some of those people that we talked about that have bigger ticket items, right? So I basically would set out and say, okay, by the end of this month, I want to make sure that I have a roofer on board. And so I would do the, you know, the Miracle Morning, my prospecting hours, I was prospecting for roofers. And then once I knocked down that domino, then I'd say, okay, I'm going to get a wealth management guy and then a CPA. And just think about the people that on a bumpy transaction that you might need to get involved. So, you know, we had a hailstorm here a couple years ago. So I have ran into several roofing issues, and that's kind of a go-to for us. I don't know how many transactions that I've been part of where we've had to get a CPA involved because there was, you know, an issue with some taxes, or, you know, they needed to get their taxes cleaned up so they could get approved with their lender, or, you know, that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. So think about those integral parts, and you want those to be someone that you can trust and to refer out to, and that they're going to see value in it.
That's great, man. That's great. I mean, a lot of this was just probably your eagerness and ambition of somebody wanting to invest in you, and that you got them excited when you sold it, because you didn't really have a lot of transactions to show them that you can like send them business. It was more that Correct. You're going to help them grow their business and guide them with what you're learning with Chris.
Yep. And that was the aha that I had. It was I started getting a lot more brand ambassadors when I started talking about the coaching and when I quit talking about the leads.
Oh man, there's the quote. Say that again.
I got a lot more traction when I started talking about the business coaching and talked less about the leads.
That's great. Chad, thank you so much. Is there anything else you want to share with somebody that may want to duplicate the same raising money model? Anything that's missing that you think could be beneficial to someone listening that wants to do what you did?
Yeah, call Fizbills first. No, I would say you have to believe in yourself to do it. And I know that sounds stereotypical, but you have to believe that you have some value. If you don't believe that you have any value to give, then you're not going to be able to sell it. And I genuinely felt that, hey, I can help other people to grow their businesses. I don't know a ton about business, but I can share what I do know. And people saw value in that. And then fast forward 2 years, I know way more about business and growing a business than I did 2 years back.
Oh, that's great. Chad, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, glad I could help out, Frank.